Amen. What a powerful song. Thank you, Bonnie. That was very powerful. And when we think about how God is at work in our lives, working things out, man, just what a great reminder. If you would turn to James chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 26 and 27, and we're probably only going to look at verse 26. Now, no comments. If we do get out at 7 and this goes only 15 minutes, no comments about it needing to be like this on Sunday morning, okay? Keep those to yourself. In fact, tonight what we're talking about is a sensitive subject. We're talking about talking. We're talking about our tongue and what comes out of the mouth. And it's a very important subject because the Bible has quite a bit to say. We're not going to unpack it all, but the Bible has quite a bit to say about what we say and how important it is that we use our voice and our tongue in the right way. We will revisit this in James chapter 3, where there's many verses that deal with controlling the tongue. But in James chapter 1, verse 26, here's what the Word of God says. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So we're not going to be able to follow necessarily the outline that's in your bulletin, which is going to reveal really these three tests or three ways that you can test your religion, being your speech, your service, okay, and your separation from the world. We'll circle back around to those next week. But I want us to really focus tonight on this aspect of our speech. Do you speak like Jesus? Do you use your voice the way Jesus uses his voice? Okay, do you use your tongue the way that Christ used and uses his tongue? It is a test to see where we stand in our walk with God. What type of religion do you have? Do you have a pure religion, a true religion of the faith of Jesus Christ? Or do you get dressed up, you look good, you go through the motions, you come to church, but your actions with your mouth reveal that you got some messed up stuff in your heart? Okay? It said, listen, what separates Christianity from every other religion? I'm going to share with you a couple things. What separates Christianity from every other religion? Well, I would say number one, every religion except Christianity is about what you do. So it could be spelled D-O, do, okay? So every other religion is about earning your salvation, earning your way, doing these things to be approved, doing these acts so that you can meet some kind of standard. But Christianity's the complete opposite of all the other religions, because Christianity is about things that are done. D-O-N-E. You see, it's done for us because Jesus has done it. And so our only hope is in Christ. Our only hope is in Jesus. It's not what we can do. It's about what he has done. And when we place our faith and trust in Jesus, we get a new life. We're transformed. Okay? And so that separates Christianity from every other religion. Christianity is all about Jesus, who he is, about what he has done, and about our simple faith and repentance, trusting in him. And so Christianity is about grace, and all these other religions are about your works being a way to salvation, where Christianity is about the grace of God. But James comes along and he says, listen, we know that our religion, true Christianity, we know that it's about grace, but just because it's about grace doesn't mean that your life doesn't change and you live a new way and you have a new life. And so when it comes to Christianity, our works, our doing is not something that we are putting our effort into trying to achieve salvation, but our doing, our works is a result of the grace that God has done in our life. It's a result of the salvation we have. And so our doing, our works, our living a Christian life is about Jesus at work through us because of what he has done in us. And so we don't do things in order to try to be approved by God. We do things because we know God loves us and he changes us. He has changed us because we love him and we want to be obedient to him. And so because of this, because of what Christ has done, that should lead you to exemplify Christian living. Or as James says here, true, pure, and undefiled religion before God. Now, your speech, let's go back to that. Do you speak like Jesus speaks? According to God, this is not according to me, but according to God's word, what comes out of your mouth is not a small thing. But here's what's troubling. That's what most of us think. We think that what comes out of our mouth really doesn't matter. I mean, we would be shocked if somebody walked through these doors and just reared back and let somebody have it in the jaw. We would just, but so often people come in and with their tongue do just exactly that. And we just don't think that that's a big deal, but it is, according to God. It's not small, but major. We often think that words don't matter, but misusing your tongue is a major sin. You see, when we don't use our tongue the right way, it can destroy our testimony. It can destroy families and harm friendships. Now, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but it sounded okay to me when I thought about it. But what's the one thing that's probably destroyed more churches than anything else? That's right. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even have to tell you. That's that gossip. It's the tongue. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, the tongue can destroy a church. That's why God says this is a serious thing. What comes out of our mouth is important. You see, your speech reveals your heart. That's what Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 says. I'll turn there. I'll read it for you. Matthew 12, 34, he says, "How can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart." So let me say it again. What comes out of your mouth reveals what's in your heart. Let that sit on that for a moment. Your speech reveals your heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this, "No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear it." Often, and by the way, I'm preaching to myself tonight, okay? I mean, God took me to the woodshed a few times as I was studying this. Unfortunately, so often our speech is used in the wrong ways. It's used to cut down. And that's sin. That's just sin. Our tongue, our speech, God has given us that not to put people down, pull people down, harm people, to cut them down. But what's Ephesians say? It's to build them up. I think we have forgotten what our mamas and daddies taught us when we were little kids. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And so we see that God says, listen, your speech needs to show grace to those who need it. Listen to what Proverbs, you talk about a powerful verse. Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Did you know your tongue is so powerful? He's going to talk about that more in James chapter 3, about how powerful the tongue is. But your tongue has the power. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. A word, a good word spoken at the right time, man, can just be what somebody needs. And in the same way, the wrong word at the wrong time can be devastating. And here's what I'd say to you, to all of us. We walk around, we don't know what people's going through. So when we see people, when we interact with people, we need to be thinking, once again, how would Jesus talk to this person? Is that how I'm talking to this person? And here's how we know. Jesus would build up, wouldn't he? He'd come alongside someone and help and build them up and encourage them. I think about this when I think about, you know, my kids. Proverbs 18. Maybe you can remember this when you had kids, or maybe you never had an issue with it. If you have kids now, you know and understand how when you say the wrong thing, what do you see happen? Here's what you see happen. And they're not just faking, because there's power, life, and death. You know, what also maybe your parents or grandparents told you isn't true. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me or harm me, or however that exactly goes, right? That's not true, is it? No, it does harm you. It affects you. It hurts you. It puts you down. And so we see here that James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying, listen, if you think you're religious, you think you're a Christian walking by faith, does your talk match it? Does your tongue match it? Are you speaking and using your speech in the way that you should be? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, listen to this, therefore, through him let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. We should use our tongue to build others up, and we should use our tongue to exalt Christ, to give him praise and honor and glory. The Bible says, talks about, that it's with our, you know, with our tongue, 1 minute we're cursing someone, and the next minute we're praising God. Does that sound right? Like, should that be the way it is? No. So we need to understand, God's the one that gave us this powerful tool. And he gave us, and he created us, and gave us a tongue and a voice so that we could use it the right way, to bring him honor and to bring him glory through it. So as we think tonight about the kind of Christian walk in life that we live, and we're going to come back next week and we're going to talk about our service and our separation, but as we think about this first point, what does your speech reveal about your walk with God? What does your speech reveal about your heart? And I would encourage all of us to say, hey, I want to be someone that speaks like Jesus. I want to build people up. hey, even when they mess up, like when I mess up, I'm thankful Jesus comes alongside me with a tender voice and reminds me that that he still loves me and that it's going to be okay and that he's got a plan for my life and that he knew I was going to mess up and he loves me. I'm glad he doesn't come and he'd say, "You sorry sucker." No, he comes and he says, "You know what? I love you. It's going to be okay. We're going to make things right." So I just encourage you tonight, just remember, as James says, listen, the Christian faith is not about just doing. That's not what James is telling us. But he's saying, as a result of what God has done in us, allow that work of God to work through you, that you build people up and you use what he's given you to bring him honor and glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, as we, as people go to prepare for choir and maybe new people are going to, you know, want to investigate what it's like being a part of that, we ask that you would bless it and you'd just continue to bless our church, continue to bless our music ministry, our Sunday school ministry, our youth ministry, our kids ministry, our senior adults, Lord, our deacons. God, there's just so many ministries, so many people doing so many things, God, but help us remember that, Lord, that we're not trying to gain approval before you, God, that we're only approved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to live for you in that way, knowing, God, what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.